Blog Talk Radio.
I believe that everyone in life should have a mission. Making people happy is the height of my ambition. And when I get them happy, well, they stay in that condition. I have a system all my own. I got a lot of what I got. And what I got's all mine. And I'll show you, I can show you if you're feeling blue. Come up and sing me sometime. I got a plan where you can hang your hat. I got a brand new. Maybe you would like me to explain it all to you. Come up and see me sometime. Come up tonight. I think the paper said the moon will be bright. They should have had it in the columns and all letters by tall that you'll be falling for me. Cause I'm free and you appeal to me. How could it be a crime if you don't get my number? Well, my number's in the book. Come up and see me sometime.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Art of Seduction. I hope everyone's having a great week so far, and I hope everyone enjoyed the prompts for tonight. It was one of those things I said, yeah, we could do a little bit of humor and sassiness, and, you know, bring out the vixen in everyone, or bring out the vixens we've known, depending on who we are. Anyway, just... Yeah, I don't know. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. And I feel like I'm not really relaying the information. In Late Night Poets, we have the mega contest going on, which is about collecting leaves. Of course. It's, you know, that's that autumn thing that we all, you know, are doing. Ours just are a little lighter and less to rake up. But there's so many ways to rake them here. I put a link up in the room for everyone. It's this contest is only open to members of Late Night Poets. And there's different ways of acquiring leaves, raking them up, however you want to word it. And if you take a peek at it, it'll explain everything to you. There's lots of ways. Calling into the show gets you points. Poems in the contest for the shows get you points. If you have a front page pick and you post it on the front page pick board for the contest, you'll get points. There's so many. There's just so many. And putting a SoundCloud into the show will get you points. So if everyone would take a minute and read that, the prizes are pretty nice at the end. The gold winner will get 3 months of gold membership. The silver member will get 2 months of gold membership. And the bronze will receive 1 month of gold membership. And I think it's worth it, you know, for everyone to at least give it a try. So with that being said, I'm going to let that go. There is a topic board up in LNP to list your front page picks. And there is another, the other board is for running contests in LNP. You get points for that as well. So that board has not changed at all. Anyone who adds a poem to the reading list will get points. You know, they all vary in amount. You know, each one of the contributions gets you a different amount of points. And we're going to tally them all up, and at the end of the month, well, you know, we'll see who wins. So just so everybody knows. And that's it for me. You know, not really selling stuff, but trying to keep everybody informed. Now, here we are. Let me see now. I have folks on the phone. Let's see, I have Mindy. Hello, Miss Mindy. How are you?
Hey, Jean. How are you? Doing well.
Any better I'd be twins, my friend. Any better I'd be twins. you know, how much better can it get than that, right? We have Laurent on the board. Hello, Laurent. Welcome aboard.
Good evening, Jean. Good evening, Mindy. A pleasure.
Howdy, howdy.
And I'm going to go ahead and bring Thomas on. Hello, Thomas. How are you tonight?
Hello, about 6 feet
tall. Good to have you.
Good to be there. Hello, Laurent. Hi, Mindy.
Hi, Tom.
And last but not least, we have Kel on the line. So hello, Kel.
Hello, Jean, Mindy, Lauren, and Thomas.
Yep.
Did I miss anyone?
No.
Not you guys all, Kel. How are you doing?
Woo, good deal.
Good.
You won the contest for remembering all the names of the people in the room.
Kelly.
Told you there'd be a test.
Absolutely. Vixen's on board. I love it. He's funny. But, yeah, I thought this contest was pretty good. We have quite a few entries. We have a lot of brevities, which is fine because, you know, that's the way Mae West was. I think she spoke in brevities a lot of times. She's very adequate and, you know, move on with it. She's like that. So, anyway, it's good to have everybody here. And, you don't mind me. I don't know. I feel like I'm freezing or something. Well, no, chipper in. Chipper me timbers. Oh, that's another show. Sorry. Silly. Yeah, we got lots of stuff. Lots of stuff on the board. Let's see. What else is shaking? Is there anything? What am I forgetting, Mindy? I know at the top left corner of the room, we have a new SoundCloud posted. And that is a list of all the shows that Rex was kind enough to make for us. And it sounds good, and it's clear, and it tells what shows are what nights and what time the shows are and all that. And so anybody, you know, that kind of has trouble keeping up with that, check it out. We're going to drop it in the room from time to time, so that'll be a help, I think. And Mindy, that was a great idea. Thanks for coming up with it. Absolutely.
Rex did an awesome job.
Yeah, he did.
What is that?
What's that?
What is that?
What is it?
Where?
Is that what you said? The top
yeah, where
left
is
corner
it on
of the room. Itself. You have to go in the room.
Late Night Poets Radio Menu.
Yep. Absolutely.
I'll find it.
Yes. So that is there for
everybody. I never know what's going on.
Yeah, well, there's a schedule underneath of that as well. So it's in two places there. One's in writing and one is in voice. Tim, Mindy, what else is happening with you? Anything exciting?
Hey, I'm here tonight, and it's exciting to be here.
That's
We've got some great pieces on the board to be read.
Absolutely. Well, what's new with you?
Well, I think autumn is on the verge. I'm cleaning yellow leaves out of my swimming pool all the time. It's time to close that thing up and brace yourself for a strong winter.
Well, don't think. Don't think you're going to gather them up and put them in for that contest. Wrong kind of yellow.
No, I think May will bring back some summer heat.
I just want you to know. That's all.
Fair warning, Thomas, anything new with you?
I'm sorry. What'd you say, Lord? I'm sorry.
No, I said fair warning.
Oh, okay.
I'm still finishing my basement and trying to keep up with the yard work and doing all the other things that a house drives crazy with, you know.
Gotcha. Yeah, I understand that 100%. Cal, how's by you?
Oh, I'm wonderful.
Hello.
Oh, we all knew that.
Oh, you're sweet. We set out some balloons tonight because it was my husband's birthday today, and that's nice. So,
yeah.
And otherwise, groceries. That's about it. Just another day.
Yeah, I understand that absolutely. And Rooster, are you there? Uh-oh. I can't hear you, Rooster. And here I was. I was all excited because I thought maybe I could hear you.
I was hoping his issue was resolved.
Me too. Can you hear us, Rooster?
You can signal on the board.
We can't hear it. Maybe he's having people do louder, man.
So
I'm not. Well, you want to work on that for a while? You can call back again, I guess. You know, and do what you got
to
do.
Maybe you can call him to bring him on.
I can't.
Yep.
I don't think it'll let him. Rooster, shoot me your number. I'll try and call you. I don't know if it'll work, though. I can try.
He said he's going to try a different mic.
I'll get it. Okay. Well, while we're at it, I think I'm going to go to the first poem.
The poem.
I'm going to start at the top of the board and be a little devilish. Put this up. And Laurent, would you read this one for me, please?
Yes, this is called May's Holidays by Chuck 17. There's a famous old story when Mae West was in her glory. She met a man on the street one day, just before the Christmas holidays. She intrigued him so that, don't you know, they went out on a dinner date. She met him at her favorite place. The sight of her made his old heart race. She had a low-cut gown and stockings that had words written on them. They were quite shocking. Her left leg read, Merry Christmas. Her right leg read, Happy New Year. He stared for a moment, and then she said, why don't you come up and see me between the holidays? End poem.
Now, I have to admit that I've heard this joke many times before, but I never heard it associated with Mae West. So hopefully it was a Mae West comment, you know, attributed in the right direction. And if not, sorry, mate. But, yeah, pretty funny stuff. Okay. So, sorry about that.
Okay.
I was interjecting.
Well, you know, I thought it was a great use of an old joke, if it was. It's the first time I'd heard it. So I thought it was very pleasant and sounds like her. Mindy, how did you like it?
Terrific rhyme and well-cadenced piece of ink. Great storytelling. Definitely campy and scandalous, as was her style. I agree.
Thank you. And Thomas.
film. If she didn't say it, she'd love to have it attributed to her because it's just her style.
Yeah.
Amen.
It certainly was. Amen. And, Kel, you had a chuckle out of this.
Oh, definitely. I thought it was brilliant. It was amusing. It was totally Mae West. And, you know, I really, really enjoyed it. It was a great piece.
Yes, it was indeed. And, Jean, I guess that brings me back to you.
Well, that was also quick. But I thought it was a funny piece as well. It was short, and it was good humor in there. And it does sound very much like Britain, like Mae West.
I thought it was a happy poem. It was an amusing poem. I agree with you.
Absolutely. And I wanted something that had...
Sorry.
I was looking for poems with humor to them. A little bit of humor. Yeah. You know, something just a little, you know, riding the fence, you know, being devilish and what have you. Kind of like Mae West was. Although she was a little more devilish than I knew until more devilish than I knew up until when I did the checking in on everything. Pretty amazing. Yeah, okay. Thomas, can I get you to read the next one for me?
Oh, certainly.
Awesome.
Okay, let me just do the reboot kind of thing. There it is. Oh, I get to read Damn It Dave. Okay. To Catch a Fox.
Yep.
By Damn It Dave. The epilogue at top is you've got to get up early in the morning to catch a fox and stay up late at night to get a mink. Mae West. I have to get up quite early if I'm going to catch a fox. I must be really crafty, like that genius Goldilocks. I know he's round the chicken coop, so I must set a trap and use my will to stay quite still. Until I hear it snap. To catch a fox ain't easy, so I have to think and slink. But I would do salacious things to catch myself a mink. And call.
Nice read, Tom.
Well read, Tom. Cal, can I start with you on this one?
Oh, I thought it was really catchy, pun intended. It was a great little story. It was amusing, and I really liked it. Good read, too, Tom.
Yes, it was, and thank you, Kyle. Yeah, I mean, his rhyming is always impeccable, and he has great comic timing and perfect use of the prop. Well done. And Mindy, how about you?
I thought it was terrific. He busted me up. It was a wonderful play on her lines, delightful work, and a nice, humorous tone. Just perfect in that vein of Mae West.
Absolutely. And Jean.
Well, I have to say, I really liked this piece by Dave. I thought it was fun. I definitely hit the prompt. All in the last stanza. You know, he started out up in the top stanzas, but definitely, you know, nicely done, funny, and just on the devilish side, I think, just enough to warrant that whole Mae West kind of feel and vibe. So, you know, just a great job there. So thank you, Dave, for entering. As always, great use of rhyming meter there. Okay, so now I have one for you, Cal, if you don't mind.
No worries. Okay, this is Mae West by Lloyd West. A blonde bombshell, famous beauty to talk about, bedroom thoughts for that suit and fine man, dressed to kill, an umbrella to keep the sun away. She, Mae West. And poem.
Nice job, Kel.
Yes, it was. Well read. For a short poem, I found this one a little awkward to read because of its sparsity of language. She used strictly the strong thoughts, the bombshell famous, which is a common term to talk about. Certainly bedroom suits that suit and tie man, the man who might compete for her affections. And we don't want the sun on that beautiful skin, so we do need the umbrella, and that was Mae West. This is an interesting little brevity. I had to struggle with it for a moment, but came to appreciate it. And Mindy, a brief word before we go on?
Nice brevity encapsulating the highlights and lowlights in the ring. Great job.
How succinct. Thank you, Mindy. Jean, back to you, dear.
Wow, did Thomas comment? Because I didn't hear his voice.
Well, it was such a short piece that I figured would go quickly, but if you want full comments, by all means. Thomas?
Yeah,
that was just delightful. Moving right along.
Yeah.
Just so everybody knows, I'm having a little trouble hearing everybody. For some reason, my phone seems like it's down very low. So,
you can always hang up and come back in and see if you get a better line.
Might just be my damn ears, Thomas. What can I tell you? I'm getting old, you know.
That's just a figment.
That's a good suggestion. Rooster, can you hear us?
He probably wouldn't
hear you. I think he called back.
Rooster.
Yeah, I think he's still striving.
Maybe he has to wait for the sun to come up.
Somebody needs to lay an egg for him.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, the rooster gets to the pen.
Said yes, but y'all don't hear me.
Oh my God!
Okay, there's a head banging on the window or something.
We're waiting.
There we go. The old landline.
Yeah. Okay, Miss Mindy, I'm going to have you read the next one, please.
All righty. Okay, this next one's by Lyric is Speaking, and it's entitled Devil in Disguise. And the prompt that she went with is, women are like roads. The more curves they have, the more dangerous they are. Gorgeous and stout, assertive and confident, with prestige qualities, willowy figure, dazzling curves measure sensual, provocative pleasures in all the right areas. Erotic, sex appeal, that of an attraction, exquisite with a mesmeric stature one could capture, tantalizing teases of seductive passion. End poem.
Nice job, Ben.
That was nice. That was nice, my dear. And Thomas, could you start us off?
Oh, it's a nice use of the slithery, sliding joys of assonance to maintain one's sense of sensual pleasure, and I thought she handled it rather well.
Absolutely. And Cal, please.
I really like this. It's got a really great rhythm and flow to it. It just gets to the point and goes on. It's just beautiful.
It is indeed. I appreciated the gorgeous and stout, prestige qualities, willowy figure. A willowy figure doesn't necessarily have to be thin. Gorgeous and stout, willowy, you know, proportionally, with dazzling curves that are measurable. I like this a lot. Jean?
I like this poem, too.
Mindy,
I thought it was
Mindy
a great
didn't
brother.
Comment. I'm sorry. Hang on. I beg your pardon. Mindy?
Well, this strong structure of phrasing to flesh the physically attributed features of a star lit bombshell. And she really did pay her wonderful homage in this.
Mm-hmm.
She did. Thank you, Mindy. Great comment. Jean, please.
Well, you know, I thought it was a great brevity, and I thought it was a great nod to Mae West. The words were, you know, strong, but her personality was strong. So I think it definitely mirrored her nicely. And that was a great job of lyrics, honest. I think that you really, you hit, you know, a lot of the right notes with this. So nicely done.
Great comment. I love these prompts.
Yeah. I thought they were fun. Now, I have another sound clip or an audio. And this one I thought was funny because when I was looking for different things on Mae West, I think I was looking for the intro song for tonight. As I mentioned, Mae West wrote a poem. I had no idea that Mae West ever wrote a poem. And I found a recording of her reading her poem. And I said, you know what, just because it's a poetry show, I'm grabbing it. And, you know, Mindy and I chuckled and said, yeah, and Mindy said, I think it would be good. And I said, yeah, you know, I think you're right. So here we are, and I'm going to play it because we do have a lot of short pieces tonight. So here we go.
I got my smile from the sunshine. I got my tears from the rain. I learned to dance when I saw a tiger prance, and the peacock taught me to be vain. A little owl in a tree so high, he taught me how to wink my eye. I learned to bill and coo from a turtle dove, and a grizzly bear taught me how to hug. But the guy that lived two caves from me, he taught me how to love.
Good old Meg.
That's great stuff. You really get a sense of the way she spoke.
Yeah, I used to. You ever see her on The Late Show with Johnny Carson? She was hysterical.
Cool.
Yeah, I never did.
You missed it. It was a delicious dish.
She was doing something else. A hot tamale. So I'm not sure. I'm trying to get the link to put it up because I wasn't thinking when I did. Shame for shame for shame. Let me put it right there. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Mindy, I know you heard it before. Do you want to make a comment while I get it on the board?
Absolutely. I enjoyed that so much. I was tickled when you found that and sent it to me. I had to laugh my butt off. There's something kind of great about a woman being able to speak on the very night that we're honoring her. So I think that's kind of cool. It's like a voice out of the past, and it was great to hear her.
Wow, age 15. I didn't realize she was that young when she wrote it. Thomas, how about you?
Yes, you what?
Well, like I said, I just delighted in listening to her. I mean, she played all the right comparisons and finished with a perfect line about the guy two caves down from her.
Yeah, she had a real sense of humor and appreciation for who she was. Cal, how about you?
I agree. I thought it was absolutely awesome to get to actually hear her voice, you know, on the night that we're doing this tribute for her. Absolutely fantastic. And it's an awesome, it's a cute little poem.
Thanks, Cal. Very nice. Jean, back to you.
You know, I thought this was just a fun and an enjoyable piece. You know, it's not sophisticated. You know, it's just, you know, a real poem from a 15-year-old girl. And I thought that in itself was pretty interesting. But, you know, I learned a lot of stuff about Mae West on this little travel. I didn't realize that she had written plays. I thought that was pretty interesting. So she was talented in that respect. She appeared in the plays. She also appeared in a lot of movies, and I didn't realize there were so many. And I don't even know that much about Mae West, honestly. I guess it's just a name and passing through my years and you know, just stuck with me. She always, you know, the comments and things always sort of a chuckle. I found out that she spent 8 days in jail. Did anyone know that?
Uh-uh.
That was kind of a thing. She went to jail for, it was supposed to be a 10-day sentence with a $500 fine obscenity and something else. And it was back.
Lascivious behavior.
Really, it was back in 1927, I think it was, somewhere thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
She had written a play by the name of Sex. And I was rolling. I went, oh my God, right? She was really, you know, way ahead of her time, I'll say. You know, and she went to jail. She spent she got off 2 days early for good behavior. There was another comment made somewhere about, did you really say to, you know, what did you say to the judge when he asked you, are you trying to be in contempt of court? And she turned around, and I think she was interviewing with Dick Cavett, because that was the only real interview I saw. And she turned around and she said, I see, I'm trying real hard to hide it. And she said it to the judge, of course, so that made it even, you know, more comical. But she was really quite a character.
Think of the level of brilliance of a woman like that and how difficult it must have been to deal with a world who really wasn't going to acknowledge a woman of that caliber in any other way but as a sextant. I mean, she was an immensely talented human being.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to go another round of poems, and then I'll talk to you about something else that I learned tonight. And I'm not real well-versed in all this, and I'm not going to pretend like I know every detail down to, like, you know, no spoilers. But I'll tell you. Well, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, it was some interesting tidbits. Something, if anyone is interested, they could look up and go, oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was good. It was fun. Rooster. I'm calling you, Rooster. Let me see now. Wow. Okay, let me grab this one. And Laurent, I'm going to get you to read this next one.
All right. This is called I'm No Angel by Longfellow Serenade, based on I'm No Angel, but I've spread my wings a bit. Although I am no angel, I have spread my wings a bit. I've loved men like the devil, and I don't know when to quit. I've put a few in ICU because my loving's brutal, but still they all come back for more. Resisting me is futile. And calm. I tell you what, I think he caught something in the back. Mindy, what you think?
I love it. Everybody is catching a bit of Mae West tonight, and they're doing it in fantastic fashion. This is clever, quippy, campy, and definitely smarty-assy like she was. This is fantastic. I just love it. Great job.
Absolutely. Gail, she put a few in ICU. That sounds like her.
Oh, God, that was funny. I really enjoyed this. Oh, my goodness. Because my loving's brutal, but still they all come back for more. Resisting me is futile. Oh, my God. I'm just loving it. I'm really loving this. It's amazing. It's so funny. And so Mae West.
It is. And it's an outstanding brevity. Thank you, Kel. Thomas?
She would have loved it because he knew how to deliver the punchline, you know?
Yeah.
The setup was I put you in the ICU, but that resisting me is futile is just really nicely timed.
I'll tell you, I absolutely agree, and I'll tell you that the quotes used by Gene tonight are perfect for inclusion in poems. It really works. Gene, back to you.
Okay, well, I thought this was great. I thought it was short and well done, and I thought it was truly written in the spirit of Mae West. You know, as I said earlier, you know, a lot of her comments and things that she's known so well for were short, and they were just short and well delivered, and then she was ready to move on to the next thing. And that's what I have to say about that short poem. I think it was really done in her style. So,
hey, Gene?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a stupid question, but Rooster's not muted, is he?
No, Rooster is here now. He just got here in the time that we read that poem. Hello, Rooster. I hear you now. Can you hear us?
I can hear you, yes.
Hey, Rooster.
All right.
Excellent.
Success.
That's wonderful.
We finally got there.
Good to have you. I know you're on your landline. You want to read your poem, or are you going to be here for a little while?
I think it's best to read my poem, Jane. I don't know, this landline is a bit like my computer. It's a bit sticky. It's a question that you use here. It's a bit faulty.
Okay. No problem. Let me just get it. There it is. Okay, hon. Here we go. I'm going to put it up for you. That's if I can find the right tab. Wow. Okay, here we go.
Here, Leo, I see it now. Can I just check? Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Well, you're kind of warbly a little bit, but you're good.
Right, okay. I'll breathe as quick as I can. My poem about the Great Mae West, I got the idea from your prompts, Jane. They're all very good. And I started reading up about her. She was on one of the shows, one of those many shows she did to publicize herself in her films. And I'll just quote, appearing as herself, West flirted with Charlie McCarthy, Bergen's dummy. Using her usual brand of wit and risque sexual references, West referred to Charlie as all wood and a yard long, and commented, Charles, I remember our last date and have the splinters to prove it. And because of that, West was on the verge of being banned from radio. Are you all still with me?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll also hear I'm going to read the poem. You'll also hear vers libre. I needed something to rhyme with carpenter. It's French for free verse, and also Spanish for freedom. So if you're all sitting comfortably, I'll begin. And my poem's called West is Best. And the quote was, too much of a good thing can be wonderful. Here we go. Sadie and Ida, two mature ladies of the world, once school friends, each other's confidant, grew apart, life's intricacies, cause and effect, years later chancing to out in a restaurant. Hugs and kisses, Ida first to speak, inquire, dear Sadie, did everything my friend tell? As I recall, 'twas your heart's young one desire, as he tall, dark, handsome, generous, swell. Indeed, so did he. Dull, rubber, spiritless reply. 40 long years of togetherness backslide. He was old and rich, but austere, ever mean. The marble home burned to ashes. He was inside. My heartfelt condolences, Ida's candid retort. Nay, lass, says Sadie, a blessing in disguise. A free of oppression, dark days, loveless nights. Now, Ida, for you, was Cupid a glamorous guise? Dear Sadie, liberation, not me.
We were laughing.
Yes, we did.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Yes, we did.
Maybe he'll come back.
Can we read those last three verses aloud? Just because it was going along nicely.
Yeah, it was. I'm just not I mean, if he's going to call back, I don't want to. Well. Well, I guess. I guess we can go ahead and read it, and if he comes back, we can do the comments. You know. Is he there, Min? Do you see him?
I don't see him.
That's a bum deal.
Sometimes you don't know you're dropped until you actually stop and wait to hear somebody speak back to you.
Right, right. He may still be reading that poem. God
right,
love him.
Right.
Shoot.
Okay. Well, let me see. Who read the last poem? Laurent, was it you, or was it you, Mindy?
I
think it was Mindy.
Well, I read that.
Okay.
Short one.
I'm sorry.
I read a short
one. Okay, I'll tell you what. Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's read it all the way from the top. Feel better about that. So,
okay,
Thomas, you're going
to
go ahead and do this one. Yeah,
okay.
If you don't mind.
No problem. West is Best by Rooster Cogburn. Epigram, too much of a good thing can be wonderful. Mae West. Sadie and Ida, two mature ladies of the world, once school friends and each other's confidants, grew apart like intricacies, cause and effect years later. Chance encounter in a restaurant. Post, hugs and kisses, Ida first to speak. Inquire, dearest Sadie, did you ever marry? Pray tell, as I recall, 'twas your young heart's fancy. One desire, is he tall, dark, handsome, generous, swell? Indeed so, Sadie's dull, rather spiritless reply. 40 long years of togetherness, backslide, he was old and rich, but austere, even me, ever mean, marital home burned to ashes, he was inside. My heart's condolences, Ida's candid retort. Nay, lass, said Sadie, a blessing in disguise, free of oppression, dank days, loveless nights. Now, Ida, for you, was Cupid a glamorous guy? Dearest Sadie, liberation, not marriage for me, so yes, love a visceral tonic, truth, not hearsay, courted by high, holy, mogul, celebrity, censored, imprisoned, tenfold my critical resume. Yet, greatest lover of all, please heed this tip. No, Hollywood big shot, loaded with money, more solid, straight talker, Charlie McCarthy, all wood in a yard long, a ventriloquist dummy. So, Sadie, dear Sadie, pack up your troubles, be a wandering widow, life pleasurable, vers libre. Forget about talk, sweet-talking, shallow gentlemen. Go find yourself a genuine, skilled carpenter.
Okay.
Wow.
Great job, Thomas.
That was really good. That was really fun. This poem is an absolute hoot and very skillfully written. Could we start off with Cal, please?
Certainly. I'd be proud to. It says in the end, apparently, appearing as herself, West flirted with Charlie McCarthy, Bergen's dummy. Using her usual brand of wit and risque sexual references, West referred to Charlie as all wood and a yard long and commented, Charles, I remember our last date and have the splinters to prove it. West is on the verge of being banned from radio. I thought this was a really awesome little write that could describe Mae West, you know, and what she might say if she ran into an old acquaintance. You know, it was just very well done.
It was, Kellen. Well commented on, too. I personally liked Ida as a stand-in for Mae West. It was a great story, and not easy to tell it. I mean, top to bottom, with the skill that he did, I thought it was a hoot to read and skillfully written. His poetic powers have not faded. Mindy, how did you like it?
Oh, my God, this is fantastic. You were so naughty, and that's exactly what Mae West was. Perfect. Just perfect. Charles, I remember our last date and how the splinters to prove it. West was on the verge of being banned from radio. She described him as being all wood and a yard long. So, yeah, doesn't get much more risque than that. It's no wonder. She definitely flaunted that right in the face of all the powers that be and enjoyed every damn bit of it and the celebrity that came along with it. I think this is fantastic and really captured that spirit of Mae West. Great job, Brewster. So sorry that you weren't able to hang with for the whole show.
Hey, that was a great comment, Mindy. Thank you. Well, you know, maybe the officials that you quote were publicly horrified. I think they secretly loved it. But at any rate, Jean, how about you?
You know, I really like this one. And when I read it earlier, it made me go and look up the actual incident. And she did do this on live radio. And it caused all kinds of controversy. I mean, she really was almost taken completely off the air, like for a long time, I think. They had women's church groups and what have you, all uptight. And you know, they did a boycott of the radio station. Like, there was a whole lot of stuff went on from this. And I thought, oh, my God. But, yeah, I think she just kind of said, well, I'm going to do it, you know, and she did it and didn't think twice, didn't look back. And I think that Rooster really captured that. Like I said, there was a lot of things I didn't know. When I found that one out, I went, oh, my goodness. You know. Nowadays, they throw stuff around today that, like, makes this look like, you know, something from Sunday school. You know, let's be real.
For
and,
sure.
You know, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, let me get a quick comment from Thomas, please.
Absolutely.
Well, I thought Rooster handled this with a certain level of genius, and don't forget, it was in the '60s when the Beatles made a mistake of saying they were more popular than Jesus, that they had burnings of their albums in arenas.
You're right.
Right.
I mean, you know, right. She knew one of the things I always thought was so brilliant about her and delightful to watch was the extent to which she knew just how far to push it to keep herself in the spotlight.
Yep.
I agree.
Yep.
I agree. Jean, what's next, my dear?
I don't know. I didn't get there for yet. I was trying to, like, I don't know, comment. Let me see.
Ground control to Major Tom. What do you mean you don't know?
Okay. I have. Where was I going for here? Okay, Miss Mindy, I have one for you.
Okie dokie.
I had to kind of look at how things were lined up here. Okay. Here we go. That one by Betty Page for you.
Alrighty. It's good to be bad. It's good to be bad. When I'm being good, I can come off as a saint. Still, I'm no angel. My wings have been clipped because I'm falling for you hard. All your wicked ways. You set me ablaze. I'm deviously naughty. So good to be bad. Nice, being nice is sweet. Come get addicted to me. Rock me hard, sweetie. Starts off innocent, angelic, so picturesque, to a fine hot mess. Twirl me, spin me high, tumbling as we undress. Play so passionate, swiftly, rhythmically, wild so methodically, tantric, all precise. and home.
Wow, well read, Mindy. This this piece really has the sense of how good it is to be bad, and I love her language in this, especially towards the end, where everything is so athletic. Twirl me, spin me high, tumbling as we undress. Play so passionate, swiftly, rhythmically, wild, so methodically, tantric, all precise. That speaks to an interesting reference of athletic positions at exactly the right time. Thomas, could we start with you, please?
Oh, I love Betty Page. She's so good at pushing the limits just in the same way that Mae West, I think, would have admired, because she plays with sensuality with a twinkle in her eye and kind of a devious look off to on the side saying, you think I can go a little farther? Maybe. Just push it a little bit better? Maybe. And she does so delightfully and does it so well.
Absolutely. Mindy, please.
Staccato orders dictated with conviction of one knowing lover to another and a definite sense of expectation. This is a woman who knows what she wants and is not afraid to ask for it. I think this is a powerful, empowered piece and definitely along lines of something that Mae West would issue. Great job, Betty.
Powerful and empowering. That was a nice comment. Kel, please. Kel, are you with us?
Yes, I'm muted. I'm going to turn into a mutant like the rest of you.
That's right.
There you go. I don't want to be left out.
No, well,
I love Betty Page. She is an awesome poetess, and she puts an amazing bit of herself into everything she writes. I absolutely love this poem, the sensuality of and sweetness of Mae West was just outstanding. Really, really well done.
Thank you very much, Kel. And Jean, back to you, dear.
Okay, well, excellent job, Betty, and I want to thank you for that great nod to Mae West. I think it was a wonderful job. And I think, you know, it was a great take on all the prompts. There were so many, and I don't have a number here to kind of point right back to yours, but I think that it really fits the show tonight. So wonderful job, and thank you very much. Now, let me see. Oh, I know what I'm doing. I remember what I was doing. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
I know. It's like magic when that happens. Okay, Kel, I have one for you. Come on back up.
Unmute. Okay, Repetition by L.J. Mace. Being young and courageously blind, I'll try anything once so as not to fall behind. And if the experience the first time turned out to be rather nice, I'd give it another go. Can't go wrong in that. Recommend, try it again, this time twice. But just to be on the safe side, can't let a good thing just slide away. Go for the golden top, fully in fifth gear. If and when I hear my way, have my way, having passed go twice, and am now on the jam for number three. I've got to give it my all if it's going to do the trick for me. End of poem.
Well done, Kel. Wow. Well, LG, she takes us right through the gears, first through fifth, around the track twice, and heading for the finish line for number three. This is very, very provocative. I like it. Mindy, how about you?
Definitely Mae West worthy lines, and she was so clever in creating these phrases interwoven with the prompting quote. it was very identifiable, and she didn't have to tell us which one she was going for. It was woven right into the piece in a beautiful fashion. Very nice work, LG. I enjoyed that. And great read there, too, Kel.
Thanks, Mindy. Great comment. And Thomas?
Well, I thought she played it rather well and took us right along in the, one might say, one sense of adventure at once is good and twice is better than I'm coming back for a third time around and going for all I can get. Glorious in the way she did it.
Thank you, Thomas. And Kel, you read that? What'd you think?
Oh, I enjoyed it. It was an awesome little read. And it says, yeah, I was making sure I wasn't muted. Yeah, why not go around the track three or four times, you know? If it's good, it's worth the trouble. Keep going.
That's right. Sometimes when you're going around those, the track, like Ben-Hur, you win. Gene, how about you?
Well, I liked it, and I think Mindy really had it nailed because you didn't have to see the prompt to actually, if you read all the prompts, it would kind of be easy to spot which one she chose. But for anyone who hasn't looked at the prompts, it's I'll try anything once, twice if I like it, and three times to make sure. That's the quote. And I think that LG did a great job with that. Just definitely she nailed it, and I think she took it and made it her own. So, well done, LG. Nice work. Absolutely. Okay. So now, I have to go back over there again. Okay, that brings me back up to the top. So, let me grab... I have not seen anything. Oh, this is what I was going to do. Never mind. Okay. I'm going to have put this one up for you. And here we go. Okay, Laurent, can I get you to read this one for us?
Yep. How Mae West Was Won. Based on you only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough. There's never a moment with you, How Mae West Was Won by Daniel DeShino. There's never a moment with you when I don't want us to touch. There is never a moment apart when I don't crave your caress. 1,000 kisses we have had. I long for 10,000 more. How can one glimpse of your beauty call to me like a lost, helpless child? And one touch from your hands propel me into a raging desire. And of the softest skin that makes rose petals deep, what mortal man would not want to lay among those flowers? I do not pray for heaven's bliss. I live with each rapturous kiss. I do not eat to fuel my fire, as each tender touch sparks flaming desire. I do not breathe what the air may bring. Your breath on my skin charms my blood to sing. Life is a choice. And each day I choose you, with each day to live, what my heart brings true. End poem. Well, I like that one. Thomas, could you start us off, please?
Yeah, Mae West had sort of a voracious appetite, one might say. And I thought he did nice and did well at capturing the idea of being so willing and ready and able to completely consume the woman he loves and be thoroughly and totally enchanted with her in the moment each and every time, that he did a great honor to the idea of if you only live once, but do it right, once is enough. Well done, Daniel.
Thank you, Thomas. Great comment. And Mindy, how about you?
Well, he's definitely elevated those lines in the quote that were spoken with kind of a campy sort of wry tone. and definitely with the heavy seduction. This piece itself speaks of devotion and passion and sensual connection of the lasting kind. And just beautiful, beautiful lines. And of the softest skin that makes rose petals weep, what mortal man would not want to lay among those flowers? That there is nothing campy or casual or in any way lurid in those lines. That is beautiful, passionate, loving words. And I think this piece transcends the quote in a beautiful fashion.
Absolutely. I do agree with that. You know, there's a sense of tenderness in the way that this is written in a very vulnerable tone. I thought he did a fine job with it. And Cal, can we finish with you, please?
I thought it was very well done. It's amorous and, you know, the little touch of enchantment enamored. Anyway,
yeah.
I really like this, and it doesn't necessarily have to be about Mae West, but maybe his wife. But it's just very beautifully done. It's very sensual and loving.
It is.
What woman
really
wouldn't want to be talked about like that?
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more. Great observation. And Jean, you must have liked this piece.
You know, I did like this piece. I thought, first off, I thought the title was kind of fun, you know, How Mae West Was Won. But, you know, he took this quote by Mae West and kind of slipped Mae West right out of it. He didn't go for the fun. He didn't go for the humor. He didn't go for that little jolt that she likes to give everybody. He totally mellowed it down and made it about something beautiful. And I think that really says a lot to me. You know, you could have gone either direction with this. But I think that this was just really a lovely tribute. And I'm sure it was for his wife because, he speaks very highly of her when I've seen him speak of her. And I think that's wonderful. So great job, Dan. And sorry you couldn't make it tonight, but we appreciated your write. Thank you so much. Okay. So, I have not seen Frank anywhere, and he has a piece on the board, and I got to keep you fellas active. So, I'm going to put Frank's piece up, and Thomas, if you would be so kind as to give it a read, that would be wonderful. Oh, that's not Frank's piece. It would help if I found it.
Oh, no. That's the little thing. Do make it.
You'd think I know what I was doing by now, but hey, you know, it's a rough life. Okay, ready when you are.
I think we know what we're doing. It's so presumptuous. Sex is a language of its own by Poetic Picasso. The epigram, I'll try anything once, twice if I like it. Three times to make sure. Sex is a cascade of emotions, the voyage in an ocean so vast, a whirlpool of dripping passion, a sensual odyssey in motion, steaming vapors of a sultry mist, lustful coils and friction of bodies, the enjoyment of a fountain of ecstasy, the deep desires of our human nature. A wicked morality for the self-righteous, or a seductive act, Virian theater. Naked and sculptured art in its purest form, lovers sharing the bites of the forbidden fruit. A voluptuous figure who had a naughty smile, a sinful expression that men could not suppress. She was the embodiment of sexual liberation, the striking image of every man's wet fantasy. Her words enraptured men to discover taboos. Her voice tempted men to explore erotic secrets. Her look was the exotic flair of a Hollywood diva. Her sex appeal was the provocation of her envy. Sex is a thirst that cannot be sated. Sex is the hunger that is our ambrosia. Sex is the elixir of mortal pleasures. Sex is a language of its own. Why is it a woman's fault if men think of sex and create their own perversions? End poem. That was fun.
Nice read, Thomas. Thank you.
It was a very nice read. Mindy, please.
This was a wonderfully penned tribute set at the beginning to High Flame and maintained all the way through the entire piece. This was like a torch for Mae West and tribute. It really did grasp beautifully exactly how she was and who she was for a great many people, men specifically. These lines I found really, really appropriate and perfectly describing her. She was the embodiment of sexual liberation, the striking image of every man's wet fantasy. Her words enraptured men to discover taboos. I think that speaks heavily to what she did, exactly what she did. Her look was exotic flair to Hollywood diva, and her sex appeal was the provocation of her envy. And, you know, that's one of those things that has maintained for years ever since. We still quote her. And her words are as pertinent now as they were then because they're about human nature, and it's wonderful. This is a great write. Good job. And nice read there, too.
And that was a fine comment, Mindy. The fourth and the fifth stanzas, which you quoted from, are the stanzas that probably come closest to giving us a close look at her. I thought he set the stage well with some general statements in the first two comments, stanzas rather, that spoke of that whirlpool of dripping passion, and I thought he did that quite eloquently. And Kel, please.
I think I'm going to have to pass up on this one. I got too worked up, and now my asthma's acting up.
All right, we'll come to you next poem.
Thank you, honey.
Thomas, please.
Well, I like the way he did this because not only did he open it with sort of a general comment, sex is a cascade of emotions, the void in an ocean so vast. But then he did, like everybody's comment in the fourth and fifth, a really striking description of her and the effect of her. But I thought the last two verses, the double line finish and the four about sex, was very political in its own way. A kind of the flourish of a banner being held high and saying, see, world, think twice. Especially that last one. I just got done today watching the girl at the Senate hearing talking about the guy who did all the sexual abuse to a gymnast. And that last pair of lines just strikes home too strongly for me.
Right. Laurent, did you disappear?
Yep, I was just on mute. I had to chime in with that, of course. Jean, we're coming back to you now.
Well, I think Frank did a nice job with this, and I think that it started out with Mae West in mind. But then when it got down to the sections that Thomas just pointed out, I think there was a whole different thought going through there, and I'm not sure. The jury's still out on my end of where I thought he was headed with that, and that's just me. It just seemed different.
and it didn't seem very Mae West at the end, but it was a great piece, and it was well stated and expressed. So good job, Frank, and thank you for joining. Okay, Miss Mindy, I have one for you.
All righty. This one is entitled When I'm Bad, I'm Better by Inner Sanctum. And the prompt that they wrote to was, when I'm good, I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better. Good. I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better. You ought to see the looks I get when I wear this tight sweater. I have a body made for sin, so that is how I use it. And I have yet to meet a man so far who can refuse it. I've turned the act of making love into a work of art. And I've been known a time or two to break a young man's heart. My sex drive's working overtime. I have no time to rest. Because it's when I'm being bad that I am at my best.
I love the southern drawl that crept in towards the end. That was great. You once read a very seductive sounding poem with full voice of southern accent. I don't remember which one it was. It had to be a couple of years ago. It was great. All right. I really enjoyed that. Kel, could you start us off, please?
Yes. This was a very enjoyable poem. My sex drive's working overtime. I have no time to rest because it's when I'm being bad that I am at my very best. That's adorable. I love the rhythm. You know, it's just very lyrical all the way through, and it's just a fantastic tribute to May. This is an awesome piece.
What a very nice comment, Gail. Thank you so much. I have a body made for sin, so that is how I use it. And I've yet to meet a man so far who can refuse it. I love the rhythm in those stanzas, and it's beautifully rhymed. It's a delightful look on an actress who knew her stuff and strutted it. Great piece. And Thomas, please.
I thought it was brave of her to use Mae West's lines, but at the same time, the way she handled it was so nicely done that in the end it was divine.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mindy, last but not least.
Oh, my God, this was wonderful. It was a piece of sensual work, so perfectly cadenced and rhyming tone that it felt lyrical in that read. Kel had that exactly right. It was very lyrical, and it made it just a pleasure to enjoy and sit back and appreciate as I was reading. The phrases here celebrate her personality and her sensual sizzle to a wonderful extent. And there is that knot of humor, too, that just caps it off beautifully. It's a great write. Nice work there, Inner Sanctum.
Thank you, Mindy. Very nice. And Jean, the microphone has been laid at your feet.
Oh, yeah.
I love this piece. I thought the rhyme and meter were perfect. And I think even though that the actual quote from Mae West is in this, I think they embellished them beautifully. And it was very Mae West-ish. So great job, and thank you so much, Inner Sanctum. It was a lot of fun. Okay, Ms. Kel, that brings me to you.
Okey-dokey. All about May. When I'm good, I'm very good, but when I'm bad, I'm better. May. I can imagine the audience screaming her name, especially the men, after one of her amazing vaudeville plays. May was an original, sexual, sensual, and sexy goddess of film and stage. She gave her all, and then some more. She never settled for mediocre. All but she did struggle against censorship, a cause she truly believed in. The right to be herself on stage and off, the right to show her curves, like it or not. May empowered women everywhere in the belief of the ability to be anything. Beautiful, gracious, a living dream, a definitive sex symbol, angel without wings. May could have you laughing in your seat or groaning at her irreverent speech. She had no filter, ripped, crumpled, threw it away, cussed like a sailor, loved like no other. May, can't you hear that from the audience of the stage and screen and phone?
Cal, what a lovely poem, and how well you read it. I like this a lot. Thomas, can we start with you, please?
Oh, it's truly a great celebration of the woman and all that she stood for. And it had a lyricism of its own that helped carry it off, I guess is the best way to say it. In all cases, it was very well done, Cal.
Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. And Mindy, please.
I love the way that you place this perfectly amongst her flock of admirers. I felt like I was one of those in the audience getting to watch her and being swept up in that chant of May. And, yeah, we can imagine that because you placed it before us in beautiful fashion. Great imagery, and it's vibrant and vivid, and it feels completely like a tribute and a wonderful honoring to her and to her wonderful spirit.
Thank you, Mindy. Excellent comment. You know, Cal, let me start this way. She had no filter. Something in my eye. Let me get rid of it. Okay. She had no filter, ripped, crumpled, threw it away, cussed like a sailor, loved like no other. May, can't you hear that from the audience of the stage and the screen? The way first of all, overall, it's an excellent piece, and I agree with the previous comments, but you left us with such a sense of tragic comedy, almost, because she did cuss like a sailor and love like no other, but was she aware of the love that she was receiving from the audience? Can't you hear that from the audience of the stage and screen? And you left us with a real sense of, did she? Was she aware? I hope she was. Certainly, in later years, I really like the way you handled it, Cal. Nicely done.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. And Jane, please.
Okay. Well, Cal, I think this was a great tribute to Mae West. I think that you kind of did her proud by bringing out the truth, you know, and what people, what was kind of going on around them, you know, that the people who loved her, the ones that didn't, or they didn't. I thought it was well written and it made me smile. So nice work.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. Unless somebody else is sitting on the line, that brings me back to you. Okay.
All right.
There we go. Whenever you're ready.
Let me just get back where I am. Okay. I wrote this based on a number of prompts, all of which are listed beneath, and this is called No Angel. She was that small package who expressed thought in rhyme, a saucy, sassy, vocal lassie, inviting me to come up sometime. Blonde and buxom, she had a keen mind. With style and verb, she put pen to paper, paying a price, thrown behind bars as too daring a communicator. May knew she was good, very good, but when bad, she was better, speaking in tongues, body, and English, tempting men with her scarlet letter. Knowing love as an art, May West was prone to saying amen to the powers of endurance, the amount of life in her men. A mind for math, her favorite equation, definition of a curve, loveliest distance separating two points, speaking her truth with the most seductive insistence. Goddess with a bold appetite, appreciating how great was a little, much more from her lovers resulted, and how much better the diddle. Never resisting temptation, knowing there would always be more, bound to try everything once or twice, three times to be completely sure. And so left behind her legend, She was no angel who spread her wings, but a woman who knew the marvel of excess as a wonderful thing. End poem.
Great job, Laurent. Great piece. Thomas, you want to kick us off?
Well, I think you did an excellent job, Laurent, of, how should we say, capturing the liveliness, the sauciness, the magic of the woman by rephrasing some of her thoughts, by teasing us with some of her more saucy and forthright attitudes. But I love the mind for math, her favorite equation, definition of a curve, loveliest distance separating two points, speaking her truth with the most seductive insistence. It's those last little measured lines that you added that bring home just how sharp a mind she possessed. Very well done.
Thank you so much, Thomas.
And Mindy, how about you?
This is, with number one, a seamless and silken delivery of tribute and interwoven points and quotes along the way that help to flesh this creature that we all know. And, you know, I don't know how everybody's level of appreciation is for her, but I thought she was dynamic and fabulously intelligent. And you really did capture that with us. She was a small package who expressed thought in rhyme. A saucy, sassy vocal lassie invited me to come up sometime. That's just brilliant. I love the way that you wove her quote right into that and captured her persona as well, right in the body of that introduction there. Blonde and buxom, that description is apt. We've seen pictures of her, and she was voluptuous and all that, and a bag of chips. And I think that she did pay the price for her fame and infamy. And I think she enjoyed both equally. I really do. I think she enjoyed that aspect of naughty that she reveled in so deeply and beautifully handled. It was the thing that enabled her to bend audiences around her pinky finger. And she did that with great ease and did that into old age. You know, she held that group and bigger groups for years past her height of prime, and this is a fantastic tribute to her. Beautifully done.
Thank you so much, and I couldn't agree with you more. I think if you were Mae West being thrown in jail for a week for obscenity, there is no better publicity. I mean, let's face it.
Right.
So, I really appreciate your comment. Thank you.
This is a great comment, Mindy. Cal, how about you?
I thought it was brilliant, totally, all the way through. You described Mae as a beautiful, saucy little dynamo, and she was. She was amazing. There was a couple that I really, really liked. Mae knew she was good, very good, but when she was bad, she was better. Speaking in tongues, body, and English, tempting men with her scarlet letter. I thought that was really clever. And then goddess with a bold appetite, appreciating how great was a little, much more than her lovers resulted in how much better the diddle. I thought, you know, it had the amusement of Mae, and, you know, it also spoke of her, you know, in a very wonderful fashion. Good job.
Thank you so much, Gal. Great comment.
Yeah. Well, Laurent, I have to say, you know, I thought this was a great piece. I really did. I think that you really, it was an awesome write, and you surely captured Mae West in a wonderful, wonderful way. You took her own words and, like, painted a picture of her with them. And I think you, as Mindy said, you did it seamlessly. I thought it was very well put together, and I loved it. You did a great job. Definitely.
Wow, thank you so much, Dean.
You're welcome. Now we have a surprise. We have someone else on the line. We have Versus joining us. So hello, Versus. Just in time to
hello,
help us.
Hello,
hello. Hi, Versus.
And we're going to read yours. Way good. Okay. So it's good to have you. Now, what was I doing here? Oh, I got to go over here. Okay, Thomas, I have your piece up next.
Oh, you have me up next. Okay, well, I'll take you on. There is no pretense in love. The epigram, love isn't an emotion or an instinct. It's an art. How often does passion fade? We wonder how love got mislaid. How could they say they cared when the following morning they are not there? Love is not made, nor is it ready to fade when you bade goodbye. Romance enchants. Passion burns like a fire. Desire is filled with less guilt when we cover its raw need with the fine veneer of love. Love shows up in the sharing. It is the caring without seeking a payment in return. We learn love is best when there is no contract to sign, no design to use it as payment for all the sins planned. Love takes time to grow and must be learned well to understand how the spell flows. We create miracles with love that only art understands. Every artist knows that you are not in command. You learn your craft, but for the craft to rise above an object, it must become part of the magic that we name as art. So be smart. As your clothes fall to the floor, as you find yourself wanting more, realize passion's flames seek fuel to burn. Romance encourages one to mate. Love does not take, nor does it demand. It is the art of the open hand, there to provide without any reason for its being. It does not ask for thanks. It only waits to give where it can bring blessing. End poem.
Thomas, that was well read. And this is a question. This is a poem that explores the subtleties of love in a way that was quite intriguing. Jean and I were talking about this before the program started. Love, how it should be, love, how it is, the way some people will use love, and others not. There were three or four lines that I thought worked, among others, that I thought worked so well. Desire is filled with less guilt when we cover its raw need with a fine veneer of love, the art of the open hand. I thought this is a wise and wondrous look at love and its ideal. Thomas made the strong point that we rarely are ideal, but we are artful, which is good. He says it allows us to see the art and strive to duplicate it in life, to which I absolutely agreed. This is really a wise and wondrous look at love. I thought it was an excellent piece. All right, Mindy, please.
This is one of those pieces that I'm going to answer in length and writing, but for the purposes of the show, I'm going to say you tackled probably to me the toughest one of the quotes. This was one that I looked at myself and really thought about everything, how this would be laid out. And you've done a beautiful job of expressing the differences between love and what people call love and how they turn it. It is often the shellac over the top of love that gets them the immediate result that they want without thinking or contemplating the depth of what can be possible when true love is actually felt and shared and expressed. And this is a beautiful, beautiful piece and very thoughtful in your usual contemplative style. And it shows deep reflection and years of observation and experience. And great read here too, Tom. Nice work, and I'll, like I said, at length we'll deliberate.
That was a darn comprehensive comment. Thank you, Mindy. And Kel.
Thomas, I am so impressed with this. So be smart as your clothes fall to the floor, as you find yourself wanting more. Realize passion's flames. Seek fuel to burn. Romance encourages one to mate. Love does not take, nor does it demand. It is the art of the open hand there to provide. Without any reason for its seeming, it does not ask for thanks. Oh, my goodness, yes. Beautiful. It's, to me, it's a saying that love is there even after the fire of the initial desire burns out. It's still there. You're still there. He's still there. You know, regardless, there's no goodbyes. You know, you just keep going and you share everything, not just the passion. And this was a very, very wonderful rite.
Oh, well done, Cal. Thank you so much. And Jean, it is your turn.
Disease versus?
Oh,
I can't forget
versus. Sorry. Versus. Please comment, my friend. Sorry.
Hello. It is me. I'm here. Hello. I really liked how this poem is capable of separating the difference between love, passion, and romance, where they tend to get kind of muddled together, but this puts a clear, like, pinpoint on what each one is, and it goes through all these different parts of love, but I really liked the line, it must become part of that magic that we name as art, and then how it flows into that separation and distinguishing between the different kind of forms of romance, passion, and then what love is, where you can love somebody without having passion or romance. So beautifully done, Thomas. Thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, Versus. I won't ignore you again. I'm sorry. Jean?
Well, Thomas. I love the quote that you picked. I really do. Love isn't an emotion or an instinct. It's an art. Very wonderful book. And I think in my comment what I said was learning love in life is a progression. Each stage of life reflects a different depth of love, beautifully expressed and presented. I very much enjoyed it. And I had to put in there, I pray someday to be an artist, because there is something to be said in that, you know, when you reach a stage in life, things become different. And we express differently. So wonderful job. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You betcha, bud. Okay. Miss Mindy, you're up.
Yes, ma'am. All righty. This piece is entitled The Marquis Reed Lady. Boutique window mannequins, bird props poised for pedestal turn, brain merely a suggestion because mold poured bods bid men burn. In May's day, limbs laced to beckon skin trace, bounty offerings in supple reality, more touchable than wood articulated length, stiff disjointed, virtual connections, and smiles puff painted and grim. He's erected towers to honor cold bowers, pristine art fixations, while genuine warmth flares, emblazoned, scaled to stirs, setting this lady apart. Wit wicked, whim spun audiences in sexy tease, taunts blatantly tempting, and hip shifting, shuffled ease. Mink lashes drop sultry veils, fan hot to steel ending scenes. Feminine melds of empowering potential, simmered at pulse boiling points, banking on brazen seductive allure. Vocal dares danced duller beyond vaudeville footlights. Men loved her obvious, unabashed invitation. Flashed flesh understandings of engaging sexual spells she cast. True, she loved them too. Sashaying her cachet to the hilt. Platinum finger waves for no halo attempt. Holly Rude would flame her iconic corseted name. The plaques laid embossed, her strolled walk to fame. A bona fide lady, who yokes success to work for her. But, sang it best, she was a camp, a scamp, a camp, and a bit of a tramp. She was a V-A-M-P vamp. End poem.
Mindy. This is a hell of a poem. I love the way you started with the boutique window mannequins, verb props poised for pedestal turns, brain merely a suggestion, and then describing them as mold-poured bods bid men to burn. It's such a clever look at the thousand and one or more models who really had no brains by comparison, but were everywhere as props for pedestal turns. In direct contrast to May, who was smart and articulate. You've got references all through here to wood articulated lengths, the pristine art fixations. What really spun me was with wicked whims spun audiences in sexy tees, taunts blatantly tempting, and hip-shifting shuffled ease, mink lashes dripping, dropping the sultry veils, fan hot the steel ending scene. There is, in this rite, a capture of the woman with stunning versatility in language. And I love the easy way you roll her off your tongue in unobtrusive rhyme. There's a way that you rhyme that doesn't call attention to itself, but it's perfectly there, and it certainly helps the song. Make your poem move right along. And I did like the insertion of Cher's lyrics, the VAMP vamp. I thought that was a nice touch. That was really well done, Mindy. And Kel,
thank you a lot.
I really like this, Mindy. The feminine meld of empowering potential simmer at pulse boiling points, banking on brazen seductive allure. Vocal dares, dance dollars beyond vaudeville footlights. Oh, wow. This is really a fantastic writing. I really, really liked it. I like the end about, you know, Cher. She was a scamp, a camp, and a bit of a tramp. She was a vamp. I love Cher. I absolutely love Cher. This
Thanks
is
so
a, you know, really well written work, piece of ink for May. Beautiful to be done.
Thank you so much, Kel.
Thanks, Kel. And Thomas, please.
Well, there are certain things I really like that you've done here, Mindy, like the wit, wicked whims, fun audiences, and sexy teas, the feminine melds of empowering potential, simmer at pulse, boiling points. Men loved her obvious, unabashed imitation. And the reason I point to those is back in the day when there was such a thing as a strip tease, before Playboy and Penthouse and stuff like that, where the idea that you might see something you weren't supposed to, and the whole process of the dance and the strip was to tease men into heated passion. She was a verbal striptease artist in many ways. And I remember listening to her and Johnny Carson once talk about how so much was being lost because sex is becoming blatant. It was no longer a matter of suggestion. She was the mistress of that, every sense of the word. And
thank
you caught
Thomas.
So much of that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. Well said. And verses, please.
Both of the stanzas that I was looking at to quote got quoted, so both of them just really stuck out to me, that wicked whim and the feminine melds of empowering potential stanzas just have such great language, but all throughout there's such strong evocative imagery, and I think it really speaks to the spirit of Mae West in that sense. So I think you did a fantastic job of capturing the essence and putting it into red ink. So wonderfully done.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Versus. Well said. And I believe that brings us back to Jean.
Well, Mindy. I don't know. I think you painted a wonderful picture of Mae West. A wonderful expression of Mae West's life and legacy. You painted her beautifully, and I really thought this was a fabulous piece. I really loved it. So very well done. And well,
thanks so much. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you wrote for it.
Well,
now let me see. Okay, versus Europe, man, Europe. Versus.
It's a Date.
Did you hear me, man?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
I can now.
Okay. It's a Date by Versus Galette. Pitter-patter, just get at her. No dilly-dalliance impresses. Put brown shoes on, step downstairs, onward. Hard part, door opening, card shark, heart holding. Carbon fiber creatures roam streets, speedy devils, fog bellowing demons, slice through lines like razor blades, emitting howls, screech, and passing. Dead end, turn around, end of cul-de-sac. Hunter goes up to foxhole, grinning. Early bird preens, ready for worm meal. Predator's lung swells, knocks arrow. Will the clever trickster answer mating call? Crimson-orange head pops out. A mischievous noticing, games afoot. Invited to partake in Sherlock's rout. Of thy enemy, a masterful Moriarty. Covet the sleek movements of mastermind. Over banister of vine, glides, disappears. Shower turns on, a mood setter. Water drops crackle on forest floor. Bloodhound nose tracks her odor, furiously tracing outlines of her position. Barking at bark shelter, his sole mission. Uninhibited understanding of completion, replete in hunger. Blacks and oleanders, patience. Rainstorm stops, can hear meandering steps and dens. Victim fixing up another plan of cat and mouse. Temptation's vision as her visage emerges. Once again, the chase begins. A carbon fiber races hand in hand. Silences are lightning striking chest beats. Misty words flow, their haze slowly expands. Sentences like judges' courtroom. So am I guilty or not? Soft furred mute jury of peers. Nothing is ever as it appears. And
wow, that was kind of epic. I would like to start with Thomas, please.
This verse is delightful. You've taken it into almost a cinematographic style of writing that really captures a quick dynamic. I mean, I love that opening stanza of carbon fiber creatures roam streets, speedy devils, fog bellowing demons, slice through the lines like razor blades, emitting howls, screech, and passing. The more in-depth comments about the fox and capturing it are delightful in their focus and in and clarity, even as you dance us through the wilderness. But when you shift to among lilacs and oleanders, patience, rainstorm, stop, you hear meandering steps and then. And then the next verse, I'm taken back to the beginning again, so that when you finish with soft-furred mink jury appears, nothing is ever as it appears. I'm both surprised, delighted, and caught in a laughter that just is really nothing more than my home applause. Really, really beautifully done.
That was a comprehensive comment. Thank you, my friend. And Mindy, please.
Well, I just want to know if this is catch or release or anyway. Hunt and Huntress, animal instincts perfected in human realm. Keeping that blooded thrill of chase and catch along the way. Now, that's as far as I got in my written comment. but I have to say, this is incredible. It's one of those pieces that sneaks up on you slowly when you're establishing the atmosphere of that hunt and the tracking and the method and the mode that she's using to accomplish exactly what she's doing. And it is a mission. Now, I love the effect of the rain and the shower overlapping here, creating that inside and outside feel at the same time, keeping the rawness of the hunt and the element outside, but then bringing that element inside and in that shower, rinsing away all but the aspect of the hunt itself. And it's really a rich rite. It's very, very layered. These lines here are fantastic. Monks, lilacs, and oleanders, patience. Rain stops. Can hear meandering steps and bend. Vixen fixing up another plan of cat and mouse. Temptation's vision as her visage emerges. Wonderful language, wonderful twist of wording, and also an encapsulation of that mentality that goes on between men and women in engagements of sexual encounter and seduction. And this is beautifully penned and very intelligently penned.
Thank you very much, Mindy. The use of the metaphor of hunting, as Mindy said, is very much evocative, but it's, you know, there's myriad images that provoke emotion. Many of them as hard-edged as a carbon fiber blades that screech. It is complex. It is awakening. And based on length would require a very comprehensive comment, because it has elements that are absolutely fascinating. You write in such a way as to almost provoke the reader with the way you lay things out. It's really, it flows so quickly and in your face that you have to catch your breath occasionally. Really remarkable piece. I liked it. And Kel, please.
Oh, this is an awesome piece. I love the movement, not just in the wording, but in how he forms the wording. You know, each line, you know, all the separations and everything, it just adds to the story, which is absolutely brilliantly written. It's very visual, very active. I really like amongst lilacs and oleanders, patience, brainstorm, stop, can hear meandering steps and then. The whole thing is just really bites at you from the beginning to the very end. You know, you just can't stop at one place and say, oh, yeah, that's right. But no, it just captures your attention from the very beginning. And I love the movement in it. It's beautiful.
Thank you, Kel. Thank you. And Jean, it's back to you.
Okay, well, verses. I think this is a great piece. Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of tripped over my face. I think that it was well written and a great use of metaphor throughout. The tale was well told for sure. And I thought it was an excellent take on the prompt. It was an interesting take on the prompt, I can say. Because I don't think that it took the same direction as anybody else tonight. And I think that that made it, you know, stand out in the crowd. So nice work, definitely.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you.
Okay. Laurent, that brings me to you. So I'm going to put this piece up for you, and I will be right back. So hit it.
Yep. This is called Paris in Summer by Linda M.B. A wet day in Paris, cobblestone streets, leaves strewn and narrow, warm on our feet with shoes off. Exposed, no bonne manière, just wanting the remnants of sun on our toes. Holding hands, skirting looks, passers-by who could see we were lovers. They smiled at our barefoot audacity. rain dripping softly to mist Notre Dame, as we, locked together, push through crowds arm in arm. Bridge of love, Pont des Arts, the Seine, swirling below, blind to all others, we weave to and fro. Dry, dirty martini, small bar in the Rue, one, then another, until we were through, back to our room, to collapse on the floor, peel off our clothes. Let's just have one more. Bitter green olives, vodka gin, drunkenly dripping to my breast from your chin. Nothing was wasted, no quarter taken, your body on mine, stirred and definitely shaken. End poem. Oh, that was kind of a pleasure. Oh, all right, Versus, why don't you start us off?
I really like how this takes you to a day in Paris. I mean, I've never personally been, but you start to get that feeling of being there. And, I mean, it starts off with it, but you come to that ending, I think, is just... It's like a perfect sort of olive on top of that martini that you're going to be drinking. So this has some wonderful structure to it. I really like how it, like, some of it is just a beat off. And it really gives you that second to feel what is in those moments. So I think it was really well written. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much, Versus. And Kel, could you add to that, please?
Oh, good. This was very visual. I love the route to go through a wet day in Paris, because you can almost see this couple walking down the cobblestones in their bare feet, you know. It almost made me think of Dancing in the Rain or something. But I really like the very end, bitter green olives, vodka gin, drunkenly dripping to my breast from your chin. Nothing was wasted, no quarter taken, your body on mine, stirred and definitely shaken. Woo! That just kind of brought it all to a point. It is very well done. Very, very well led.
Wow.
Hey, Laurent, are you on mute?
I'm sorry. I was on mute again. I was calling on Thomas, please.
Oh, okay. I think the way that she opens this in the first two verses is just stunning, because you can see it. It dances in front of you. The visuals are really striking. And while she does it with a great deal of simplicity, they're so clear and so bright that the love, the romance is right there in the moment. And then to go turn around and drop in that last verse where the seduction is finished. And it's not so much one person seducing the other as it is them both seducing each other. And the dance with the martini and that last little toss in of James Bondian type statement, your body or mind, stirred and definitely shaken. I just thought, put a grin on my face, because someone who knows how to make the right apt illusions, it just captures me to no end. And this was a stunning piece.
Thank you, Thomas. Well said. And Mindy?
I thought, well, the first thing I wrote was bravo, because this is a brilliant piece. It really was. Wickedly clever and wonderfully sensual, erotic textures amidst detailed features and magical Parisian encounters. Terrific phrasing and poetic humor in those final notes were the perfect lick of pen. It really was beautiful.
Thank you, Mindy. Well said. City, Paris is really a city of a thousand stories, and this adds one more. It was a romantic, sensual exploration of each other, and a visit down the broad avenues of Paris. Well told. I enjoyed this. Jean, how about you? Jean? Ah, withered Jean. Maybe she's on mute.
It was my turn. It was my turn. Don't pick on me. It was my turn. I have been good all night. I absolutely love this piece. I really do. I love the direction she went with the chosen plum. And I really, I just thought it was really well done. I thought it was excellent. And, and I'm repeating myself because I'm not reading what I wrote. So I'm saying the same thing 15 different times. But I do. I really thought it was well written, well told. And I think that the prompt really, she made it shine in this. And, and it was a sophisticated piece, too. It wasn't like, it was a set in Paris. It was something different from everyone else's. And I have to, I always like when I see different directions and angles and things coming through. So that was great. Now, it is 4 minutes of 12. I don't want to push... through. I think I have, don't we love that? 1, 2, 3, we only have, I think, 3 left. So I'm going to carry them over to Friday. Not that I want, to do that. I would love to finish the map, but there's just not enough time. So the 3 I'm carrying forward, we have Kenny W., Neutron Bomb, and In Walked Bud. I just like to just give them each enough time, for decent comments and what have you. Otherwise, I would say, no, I don't want to rush anything through. So whoever is left, I apologize, and I want to thank you in advance for your patience. It was a great night. I appreciate everybody's writes and comments and reads, and, it was really excellent. And I think Mae West would be smiling about now. She probably is.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It was just a lot of fun. So thanks, everybody. I appreciate you all. Thank you, Laurent, for co-hosting. Thank you, Mindy. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Cal. And thank you, Versus. It was a nice treat. And thank you, Rooster. It's good to have you call.
Terrific show.
Thank you. Thank you. Great rights, everybody. Really nice. Nice comments. So thank you all. Much love. And we'll see you soon.
Much love.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.